I'm Marty Moscowane. Welcome back to Radio Times. President Obama went to Pellissippi State Community College in Tennessee on Friday to unveil an initiative, America's College Promise.
Today, I'm announcing an ambitious new plan to bring down the cost of community college tuition in America. I want to bring it down to zero. I want to make it free.
While there aren't a lot of details yet, the plan would be paid for largely by the federal government, with states that opted in covering about a quarter of the costs. Students would have to maintain a 2.5 GPA in an academic program or a job training program. Today on Radio Times, we discuss what this could mean for the educational landscape, the politics involved, the funding formula, and much more. This note, community colleges enroll about 40% of the country's undergraduates. And joining us here in our Philadelphia studio is Donald Guy Generals, and he's the president of the Community College of Philadelphia, a job he began on July 2014. And Guy Generals, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. Joining us by telephone is Catherine Mangan. She's a senior reporter for the Chronicle of Higher Education, where she covers community colleges, professional schools, college completion, and workforce issues. And Katie, nice to have you with us on Radio Times as well.
Thanks. Nice to join you.
And from the studios of Princeton University, Cecilia Rouse is with us. She's dean of the Woodrow Wilson School of Public and International Affairs, as well as the Lawrence and Shirley Katzman and Lewis and Anna Ernst Professor in the Economics of Education and a professor for Economics and Public Affairs. She served as a member of President Barack Obama's Council of Economic Advisors from 2009 to 2011. Cecilia Rouse, nice to have you with us on Radio Times as well.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Donald Guy Generals, let me begin with you. What, assuming this passes, what would this mean for Community College of Philadelphia?
I believe this will be a significant game changer for our students and our community and the business and industries that we serve. I think it will provide an opportunity for students whose challenges have to do with the cost of education and their ability to pay for it. So I think it will have a considerable impact on our ability to provide quality education and pathways for students, and it will certainly serve the community and the city of Philadelphia quite well.
And what does it cost to go to Community College of Philadelphia?
Right now, it's about $2,500, $2,550 for tuition and fees. That also, you would add to that the cost of books and transportation and living and so forth. So it's about $2,500 for the cost, the basic cost of tuition and fees, and that varies with programs.
Let me turn to you, if I could, Katie. And are you surprised about this announcement that the president made on Friday?
Yeah, I think a lot of us were surprised at the scope of this plan, making this a national program. It's modeled, of course, on a program in Tennessee, which is really just getting started. But I think a lot of people were surprised. It remains to be seen whether the program will get the congressional approval it needs, particularly at a time when the Republicans are controlling Congress.
Which makes me want to ask you, Cecilia Rouse, someone you have advised, President Obama, my understanding is that about 75% of the cost of this would come from the federal government, and that the states that opted in would pick up the rest of the tab. Is this a formula that you think that could pass through this Republican-controlled Congress?
Well, my understanding is that the total cost of this is about $60 billion over 10 years. So I think the question – and this is on top of Pell Grants. So I think the question is, where are the – what are the offsets that are being proposed? How is the administration proposing to pay for it? More generally, I think it's a challenging environment for the president to get anything passed. But I think it's an exciting proposal.
How so?
How is it exciting? Well,
yes.
I think it's, as Katie mentioned, it's ambitious. The president's been very committed from the beginning to improving college completion. You know, every president focuses on the community college because it's like the people's college. It's that first line institution into post-secondary education in the United States. It's what makes our system, in my humble opinion, unique in the world. It's flexible, the tuition's low, so it's a great institution in which to try to make headway in getting more people into post-secondary institutions. And this is a big, ambitious scale to try to make it free for as many people as possible. It does require that students commit. They need to be enrolled at least half-time. They have to maintain a minimum GPA, which for many students is a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
It requires the states to sort of continue supporting public institutions, which they have been doing less of. State support for public institutions has dropped by about half over the last 30, 40 years. So it requires the institutions to have quality programs, both on the academic side and the occupational side. So, you know, it's not just everybody should go to community college. It's going to require effort and commitment on all fronts.
Does this supplant, though, Pell grants? I'm looking at you, Guy Generals, and I think that the max on a Pell grant is something like $5,730. So we're talking, especially at community college, something less than that.
It doesn't supplant. It adds to Pell grants. It's the last value, dollars in its student's total package. So you would have to consider Pell. You would have to consider the state dollars and any scholarships they may get before these dollars would be committed to the student.
And we are talking about students maintaining a 2.5 GPA. Is that a challenge for community college students?
I think that's a challenge for the students as well as the colleges. I think having the ability to provide more services, the ability to provide lower class levels will enable students to be more successful. So the challenge is put to the college as much as it is to the students and to the legislators who will ultimately have to fund this.
Yeah. Katie, going back to you and even going back to the states, and as Cecilia Rouse was describing, many states have been cutting money for higher education. How do you see this playing out across various states in this country?
Well, I think one of the concerns that people raise is how community colleges will be able to make some of the changes that the plan calls for to ensure that more students are graduating, because, of course, the graduation rates of community colleges tend to be quite low, largely because people are working. They're taking more than 3 or 4 years to graduate. So I think there's a question of how they'll be able to afford the additional services that will be required to get so many more students through. I think there's also a concern, too, about who will be teaching all these classes if, in fact, many, many more students do end up going to community colleges, because they rely very heavily on adjunct professors, people who work part-time without all of the protections that full-time professors have. So something like 70% of those teaching at community colleges are adjuncts. And there is some concern that this is going to put an additional burden on a system that's already financially strapped.
Well, let me give you a chance, Guy Generals, to respond to that.
I believe in the long term, that is something that we need to be concerned about. But I think right now, across the nation, enrollment is down, and we can probably absorb 3 to 5%. Many colleges base their budget on a 2 to 3% increase in enrollment, and that's not been the case for a couple of years now. So I think there will be a period of time where we can absorb the additional students, but eventually we will have to be mindful of the extra need for faculty and equipment, and especially part of the proposal that the president made speaks to the need for quality, unique programs in the technical areas, those areas that would provide students for jobs in the technical areas are quite costly. So we would have to be mindful and considerate of those types of programs.
What's the graduation rate at Community College of Philadelphia today?
The traditional rate is about
12%.
First-time full-time students, students who come in for the first time and who stay for a period of 3 years, that rate is about 12%. But, of course, many students transfer, many students are part-time students. So part of our argument against those kind of standard numbers are that it doesn't tell the complete picture of what community colleges do, which is so much more.
But do you think the number of those people, in a sense, drop out because they can't afford it?
Absolutely. I think students drop out because they cannot afford it. I think many students don't even enroll because they either don't qualify for financial aid or they cannot afford it. We haven't talked about the cost of books. The cost of books are quite prohibitive these days. So the cost is an absolute factor in our ability to provide quality education to the citizens and students of our community.
Cecilia Russell, let me go back to you. What do you think can be done to increase those graduation rates?
Well, I think that the point that cost is an issue, and I want to just clarify one thing, as I've been reading the press about this proposal, is that there's a lot of confusion about what the money would potentially be paying for. As as Dr. Generals pointed out, this would be money that would be on top of a Pell Grant because, in theory, this is not meant to affect a student's Pell Grant award. So if the tuition is then free, the student can use the remaining funds for books, transportation, and also living expenses. And that's been a bit of a confusion, and I think allowing it to go towards increasing support for living expenses could be quite important for many students. But I think that we do know of a few things that are very exciting. The administration talked about an accelerated study and associate programs, ASAP program at CUNY, which requires the students to attend full time and then provides them with enhanced advising and some seminars and block scheduling. And there's an evaluation of that by MDRC, which looks like it actually makes a big difference to persistence and graduation rates among those students. So I think that more intensive programs make a difference. We also know that making other forms of financial aid more accessible and simplifying the FAFSA process also can make a big difference, which I think goes to the importance of the funding for expenses, whether they're related to educational or non-educational, that can make a big difference as well. Finally, I think the issue on the technical side about how do you improve those programs, I think it's very important for community colleges to be working with local industry to ensure that the programs that they're providing are training the students in the skills that are needed, especially more locally. And many community colleges are already trying to do that. But as Dr. Generals pointed out, they're very expensive. And, it's hard to be ahead of the curve all the time. But I think that'll make a big difference as well.
And you're nodding your head. Go
ahead.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
That's an issue, though. I mean, trying to up the graduation rate to sort of ensure that there's a better quality of education or a more relevant kind of education?
I don't want to describe it as a better quality, but the emphasis here is to prepare students for the workforce. And especially in our economy, so much is dependent on what we refer to as that mid-tech level. Not only that, but the sectors that we work with are much more modern in terms of their technologies and the equipment that they use. So it's really important that students have an aptitude toward the STEM fields, and the equipment is very much related to a basic STEM education in addition to the specific training relative to those to the equipment that they will need to be trained on. And Dr. Rouse is exactly right. Part of what we do is to try to partner with businesses and industries to sort of reduce the cost. But nevertheless, we need more students to balance out that cost, and it is something that we're working to try to resolve every day.
Let's take a very short break, and then we'll get back to our conversation. We're talking about a plan that the president unveiled on Friday. He's calling it America's College Promise. It's a plan that would allow students to attend community college for 2 years free of charge. And talking with Donald Guy Generals, the president of the Community College of Philadelphia. Also with us, Catherine Mangan, senior reporter for the Chronicle of Higher Education, and Cecilia Rouse from Princeton University. Much more after this short break. Lines open at 1-888-477-9499. Send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org. And send us a tweet at Marty Moss Cohen. What do you think about this idea? And stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss Cohen. Last week, President Obama unveiled America's College Promise, a plan that would let students attend community college cost-free. His initiative would require students to maintain a 2.5 GPA, and the cost would be shared between the federal government and the states. Talking about all of this with Donald Guy Generals, president of the Community College of Philadelphia, Catherine Mangan, senior reporter for the Chronicle of Higher Education, Cecilia Rouse served as an advisor to the Obama administration, and she's a dean at Princeton University. Calls coming in at 1-888-477-9499. Already a whole bunch of Facebook comments that I'm seeing on my other screen as well. Guy, you want to just clarify something in terms of the tuition?
That I quoted, the $2,500, that's for 13 credit load. So that's per semester.
Okay.
So it's about $5,000 per year, and double that for a complete degree.
Okay, just so people understand that. We have an email from Annabelle, and actually, Catherine, if I can put this to you, it was a question I had as well. Annabelle says, in Europe, higher education is free or almost free. What are they doing that we can't do in America? Why can't that change? And I wonder whether the president is sort of saying or beginning to help us or wanting people to think of the first 2 years of college sort of like public high school, the idea that it's free and a sort of continuation of the education that happens in high school.
Yes, in fact, I think that's the point the administration made in unveiling this proposal, is that times have changed and higher education has to change along with it, or the entire educational spectrum in the country does. That a century ago, getting through eighth grade was probably enough, and then around 100 years ago, the switch was made to allow everyone to have access to free education through 12th grade. And the president's point now is that that's really not enough, that most jobs are going to require some kind of education beyond 12th grade, and that that really ought to be something that taxpayers can foot the bill for, and that instead of 12 years of free public education, people really should be entitled to 14.
We have a Facebook comment from Robert saying, what about the ownership factor, that there is a value in an education is best conveyed through paying for it? Where would this money come from? Nothing is free. And Cecilia Rouse, this is, as I was doing some homework for the show today, that was one of the arguments against this proposal.
Which is that if things are free, people don't value it.
Or it's free to them, but it isn't free to people that have to pick up the tab.
Well, no, there's no question. But I think it's also important to remember that when we think about investing in what we economists would call human capital or education, there's a benefit to the individual, but we also all benefit as a society. So we know that we benefit in terms of more educated citizens, more engaged citizens, healthier citizens. People are less likely to be on public assistance later because their incomes are higher. They're more likely to be employed. So we actually all benefit from schooling, which is part of the reason why we pay for K through 12, is because of those shared benefits. So I think that we need to be mindful of that. And I think the point that the administration is trying to make, that Catherine just mentioned, is that it used to be K through 12 is sort of where we thought that the shared benefits were, and that if you went to college, that was largely for you. But now we're starting to see that we actually all benefit from having a more educated population in terms of post-secondary. So I would argue that we have a shared responsibility there.
And the benefits that come with that, it sounds like you're saying as well.
And the benefits that come with that as well. And I think that we as a society, in terms of our economy, we will start to pay the price if people are choosing not to go to college because of the cost. I think that's the challenge.
You're, again, nodding your head, Guy.
No, Dr. Rouse is absolutely right. Already we're paying a little bit of the price, because on a fairly frequent basis, I have CEOs from companies and businesses who say they can't run their businesses as effective as they'd like to because they don't have the trained workforce to operate the equipment to process their products and so forth. So it's a very changed economy. A high school education used to be good enough to get a entry-level or mid-level job, and that is no longer the case. So we are already not as effective as we can in terms of our economic prosperity.
I'm curious about, with the student body at Community College of Philadelphia, how many of them are the first in their family to go to college? How many are, I don't mean like actual numbers, but, you know, looking at the student body, or even those that might be immigrants to this country?
It's I don't know the exact percentage at this point, but it's fairly significant. That's pretty much what we do. Our college is a pathway for those who otherwise would not have had the opportunity, or would have come from families that where they represent the first generation going to college. We do have a fairly sizable immigrant population, international students coming to the college. So we do exactly right. Those types of things.
And for those that do graduate, getting jobs or getting a bachelor's degree or higher degree, what is the path for them?
Well, many students move on, but for example, this past graduating class, about 60% of the students that graduated did find jobs. A sizable amount of them found jobs in the particular areas that they were studying in, and most of them stayed in the region, the Philadelphia region. So we think that's pretty impactful immediately in terms of the education that we provide. Overall, about 90% of our graduates do ultimately find jobs.
Catherine, we have a tweet from Janine. Does this include vo-tech schools? Does it?
It includes some technical colleges, but what it doesn't include is the for-profit schools. So, yes, it does include technical training schools as well as community colleges, but not for-profit schools. And so many people are seeing this as something that is likely to further cut into their enrollment when people have the option of going to public community colleges and technical training programs for free.
Do you think, Cecilia Ross, that's a good thing?
Well, we know much more about the economic benefits of going to community college, which we can observe in the data that the students do benefit. We know much less about the for-profit sector. The economists that have tried to understand the economic benefits have found that on average that students don't benefit so much, at least on net, considering what they pay. You know, obviously a lot of what they're paying for is through the financial aid system. You know, I think what we know about the for-profit sector is that it's very there's a lot of variety. There's a lot of – they're very good institutions and institutions that are not quite as strong. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think at the moment I would probably argue that it's not the biggest hit. The reality is we don't know as much about the for-profit sector.
Let me get Sherry from Kempton, Pennsylvania, to join our conversation. And, Sherry, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes. My main concern is we don't even have enough money to fund K through 12. Where are they going to get the extra money to put into community college? I think it's more important graduating from high school and then worry about college.
Well, let me try your idea out on Guy Generals here. What do you say back to Sherry?
I think that's a good point. I think it's really important to fully fund our public schools, especially K through 12. And I think that, you know, one doesn't preclude the other. I think we need to continue to fight for more funding for public schools. I will argue that students eventually age out of the public school system, and so their second chance is provided primarily by the community colleges. And I think your budget is a statement of your priorities as a nation. And I think when you look at the totality of this country and the state's budgets, there are areas where we could realign the priorities that we currently have. And I think that's ultimately what it will come down to.
Yeah, and Catherine, picking up on Sherry's call, you know, it can be framed as interest groups fighting over limited funds, when it seems to me we all should figure out how to be on the same page when it comes to educating our children and our young adults.
Yes, I think that's also a point that the president makes in his plan, the proposal, which is that colleges and public schools need to work very closely together to make sure that students can transition and get the support they need, both in public schools and in colleges, and that it's not an either or kind of situation, but one where both have to work very closely together.
Do you find, Guy, at community college that there's a need for remedial reading or math, that just because you've got students graduating from high school that don't have the kind of skills that they need for a college?
There is, and that is an issue for the community colleges, and that's really what we work with the public schools on in terms of trying to mitigate that phenomena. And it's still there, and that will have to be part of this proposal. How can we do what can we do more of to reduce the amount of students who are coming to our colleges in need of remediation? And part of what we are doing is working with the K-12 systems and trying to offset those needs prior to their actual arrival here. And there are a lot of models, a lot of programs out in the nation, and we're working very closely mm-hmm. with the Philadelphia school system to try to mitigate that.
Cecilia, you want to weigh in on that? We got a lot of people that want to join our conversation.
I actually did. Thank you very much.
Oh, sure.
Developmental education is a really big, expensive proposition in the United States. By one estimate, we spend about $3 billion a year on developmental education. And so I think that I completely agree that part of this is bolstering what students learn in middle school and high school so they come to community college prepared. But we also know that there can be reforms about in our developmental education programs themselves, that some of them are testing students on skills that they don't really need. Do you really need calculus to do most jobs these days? Statistics may be more relevant. So many institutions are experimenting with more relevant developmental education that's aligned with the regular courses that students are taking, and even better testing, so better identification of which students actually need to be in developmental education courses to begin with.
And that's Cecilia Rouse. She is the dean of the Woodrow Wilson School of Public and International Affairs at Princeton University, former economic advisor to President Barack Obama. Also with us, Catherine Mangan, senior reporter for the Chronicle of Higher Education, and where she covers community colleges and professional schools. And here with us in our Philadelphia studio, Donald Guy Generals, and he's the president of Community College of Philadelphia. And we are talking about an initiative that the president unveiled, an idea idea, a plan that if you go to community college for 2 years, you don't have to pay anything. Lines open at 1-888-477-9499. We have a lot of comments coming in as well at radiotimes@whyy.org and getting tweets at Marty Moss Cohen and also at WHYY Radio Times. Let me get Jamie from Bel Air, Maryland to join us. Jamie, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hello.
And hi there.
First, I want to thank you, Marty, to all your guests for a very interesting discussion.
Good.
Very important topic. And for me, it's very important. I'm a community college professor, a history professor here in Maryland. And I'm first very excited because any kind of specific support from the federal level for community colleges like this, I think, is very exciting to hear. And it's certainly needed because we've been in a financial difficulty, you know, for a while. It's been tight. And my first question has to do with that, the financial aspects. In Maryland, at least, and I think in many places, I taught, for example, for a while in Pennsylvania, a big part of community college funding, often the biggest percentage, comes from the local governments, the local mm-hmm. constituencies. And I haven't heard anything about how this proposal might impact local funding. So, for example, in my college, well over 40% of our funding comes from our county government. So I don't know. And that's been flat pretty much for like 4 or 5 years, which is basically a cut because everything else goes up. Right. So that's one question I have. And then second.
Well, you know what, Jimmy? Let me take that first question only because it's an important one. We haven't really covered it. And Catherine, if I can toss that to you, looking at how community colleges are largely funded in this country.
You know, I honestly don't know what this would mean for local funding. I do know that there's been obviously been a huge concern about a pattern of states disinvesting in higher education. And until this year, there's been a steady decline, it seems, in the amount of money that states are spending. The many community colleges that used to be state supported, really right now, state support makes up a very, very small portion of their budgets. So, yeah, I think local, the whole question of what this will mean for local funding is an important one, and I don't know enough at this point about it.
Let me see if
you can answer.
Yeah, Guy?
I think it's a good question, but just for the sake of clarity, the largest portion of our budget is coming from students. Student tuition is funding about 58% of our total budget. Our local sponsor is the city, and that's about 16%. And we need to advocate more. We need to get them to understand. I think they do. But, you know, we also have to balance that with the needs of all the other city needs. So I don't know. I know that the original model was intended to be a third, a third, a third. And in my 30-year history, that has never been the case.
Interesting.
And the local and the state sponsors have increasingly reduced their support.
Jamie, you had another question. If you can make it quick, that would be great.
Sure. It has to do with the metric for evaluating community colleges using the degree completion, which I know we've been working with for a couple of years now at least, and that's a lofty goal. But in a field like history, sometimes graduation isn't the ultimate goal because we have students that transfer to a four-year college, and our goal is for them to succeed there and graduate with a four-year degree. So my question is there any possibility that successful transfer could be used as a component for evaluating community colleges in this new format?
Well, that's interesting. Cecilia, can I toss that to you?
Sure. So I think everybody understands that that's part of the goal for an academic program in a community college. And the challenge is developing robust enough data systems, usually in the states, so that you can track a student from one institution to another. So I think most policymakers and the people who are putting this together are probably trying to find a way to include transfer rates. And it probably does, because otherwise I think we're working against the tide. But the challenge really is having the data systems in place that we can follow students.
I want to toss something to you, Catherine, and we got an email about it, and I see something as well on one of my computer screens here having to do with online education. The idea is, do we need to invest all this money into community colleges when people can take courses and perhaps even get a degree online in front of their computers at home?
Well, that's an argument that you often hear, that that's really a much more economical way to reach the masses. But in fact, particularly for the students that community colleges serve so many of, low-income and disadvantaged students, first-generation students, online education can be a real challenge. A lot of these courses that serve, you know, tens of thousands of students have very, very low completion rates. And some of the students who struggle most are those who don't have very strong academic backgrounds and who probably wouldn't do particularly well. Mm. So it's not really the solution that many people would like to see it.
How do you see it, Guy General?
I agree. I think online instruction is part of the total offerings that we should offer, and we should figure out a way to do it better. But Catherine is absolutely right in that it's tougher often. Students tend to think that it's an easier opportunity for them, but we find that the failure rate is quite high, if not often higher than the actual brick-and-mortar class. But I think there are opportunities. I think open courseware, when we talk about the cost of books and information, I think there are opportunities there where we can infuse the online opportunities and the open free online opportunities into the curriculum. But online delivery of instruction, I think there is a role for it, and it is quite a competitive environment out there. And you know, and that's where part of the challenge from the president comes. We need to figure out a way to do these things better and to incorporate it in a way where students can be successful.
But
for the working adult, for someone who's got strains on their time, there is an advantage. But the disadvantage is they have to usually work harder and they have to be dedicated and self-starters. And we need to figure out ways to ensure that that happens.
Let's take another short break, and then we'll get back to our conversation, talking about an initiative that the president unveiled on Friday, the idea that if it can get through Congress and if states sign on, that students could go to a community college 2 years free of charge. Talking with Donald Guy General. He's the president of Community College of Philadelphia. Also with us is Cecilia Rouse, and she's the former economic advisor to President Obama and the dean of the Woodrow Wilson School for Public and International Affairs at Princeton University. And Catherine Mangan, senior reporter for the Chronicle of Higher Education, and one of her beats is community colleges. 1-888-477-9499. Send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org. And send us a tweet at WHYY Radio Times. We want to know what you think of this idea. Stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscoen, again talking with Catherine Mangan, Cecilia Rouse, and Donald Guy Generals about the idea that the president floated out last Friday, that community college students not have to pay for that college. It would be paid for by a combination of the federal government and by the states. And we're taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. Let me get Carol from, looks like Doylestown, to join our conversation. Carol, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. I worked at a community college for 17 years, and this tuition, free tuition, is a double-edged sword. Because unless there's funding for operational capital costs, it's not going to work. Second is that the state and local governments can see this as washing their hands of continued funding. That would be detrimental if the federal program should go away. And the third thing is that programs that are offered should include not only the liberal arts programs, but technical programs that will help bring manufacturing back.
Okay.
I'll take my answers off the air.
Sure, Carol. Let me put the last one to you, Donald Guy. When we were talking a bit about the various sort of courses offered, yes, some probably liberal arts, academic, mm-hmm. but also the importance of trades and vocational training as well.
And businesses. And I think that was at least part of what the president put forth, that colleges need to form programs that address the immediate needs of our economy, and those are typically in the technology areas, the advanced manufacturing, healthcare. Those are the economies, the sectors that are in the greatest need of our service. So we are in the position of having to expand our offerings there, and that is part of the challenge that we're confronted with. And so she's absolutely right about that.
Cecilia Rouse, do you share Carol's opinion that if this were to happen, then the states would sort of step back and would not be invested in community college?
Well, so my understanding is that the way they're constructing it is actually the federal government is giving a FLEC grant of about $3,800 per full-time equivalent student, which they're still trying to figure out specifics around the edges. And so that creates a sort of on average, about a match of 75%. I think the idea is that if states have then start to and then if they do that, the students don't have to pay anything. So unless the states are going to completely gut their programs, They're going to have to maintain what they're contributing. I think the more important question is the one that was raised earlier and that she alluded to, which is what about the share between state and local governments? And I'm not sure how well that's been fleshed out, because it's usually not just the state contribution that's supporting the cost of the community college education, but there's a local component as well. But I think the idea is that the states have to maintain what they're currently doing, and then the federal government will help to the extent that $3,800 helps. So if the current tuition is less than that, then the states get to keep the difference. And the idea is to put that back into the community college system. If they contribute, if their current tuition is greater than that, then the match isn't 75%. It's something less.
To you, Catherine, we haven't really talked about student debt yet. As it pertains to community college students or graduates, do they, because it is cheaper than private universities or private colleges and universities, are community college students, do they have a lot of student debt?
Yeah, they do have a lot of student debt. I think there's a perception that community colleges are very inexpensive, and of course the tuition is probably about half of what the tuition would be at a four-year school. But we did an analysis recently that looked at costs for community college students, and while the average public published tuition and fees at two-year colleges is about $3,300, once you add up all the other costs that students face, including housing and transportation and books, students pay about $16,000 a year.
Wow.
So that can add up. And, of course, Pell Grants kick in $5,730 per year for the neediest students. But that still leaves an unmet need. And students are, in fact, graduating with a considerable amount of debt.
I'm assuming that's true for Community College of Philadelphia
that,
as well.
That is absolutely true, and it's a major concern that we have. We're measured in part by our default rate relative to how effective we are as an institution and, you know, keeping the cost down with students. That rate students carry with them. So if they go to an expensive college out of high school and they change their minds, we have to be mindful of the fact that part of their loan obligation is now embedded into whatever loan obligations they have at our college. So our Title IV funding is impacted by our inability to keep that default rate down.
Interesting. Let me get looks like Caitlin from Spring City to join us on Radio Times. Hi, Caitlin. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is, if community college is made free, then is it subject to the same Common Core assessment and funding that K-12 is?
Well, I mean, Common Core does apply to K-12. You're asking if they would have the same kind of curricula or
yes.
criteria?
Right, because funding is, funding is, you know, made available through assessments that are linked to Common Core. So I was wondering if it works the same way.
Yeah, I'm looking at Guy Generals, and he's shaking his head.
It doesn't directly impact us, although we do work with the K-12 systems on the Common Core to ensure that the curriculum is aligned. It's part of the solution to the remedial issue. And so we do work with the faculty and the high schools on this issue of Common Core, but it doesn't really directly apply to us.
Right. We have a Facebook comment from Joe saying, well, the cost of college has gone up so significantly, it's hard to believe it took so long for something like this to happen. I'm sure we have the money. It's just a matter of using it properly. Cecilia Rouse, you want to weigh in on that?
Well, you know, in the spectrum of things, the federal budget is, what, trillions of dollars. And so absolutely the money, $60 billion over 10 years, mm-hmm. while large for all of us on this conversation,
indeed,
is not as much for the federal government. And so it does come down to a question of priorities for the federal government and for state and local governments. And I think this goes back to a question earlier about what is our shared view about the importance of education as a society and how much do we want to put in. I believe the president may be also making a proposal regarding early education, so preschool education, which I think is also very important. K-12 needs to be strengthened. So it's not expensive in the spectrum of things, but it does come down to a question of choices.
Catherine, I don't know if you've looked at talked to members of Congress or sort of looked at the political environment. Do you think there's appetite for this?
Well, I think that's the big question. The president makes the point that this idea of free community college tuition has enjoyed bipartisan support. The federal plan is modeled largely on the Tennessee proposal, which was instigated by a Republican governor, and a similar model is in place in Chicago, where there's a Democratic mayor. So he sort of makes the point that this is something that can appeal to people on both sides of the aisle, but it's still a lot of money. We're talking about $60 billion over the next 10 years, and whether or not Republican-controlled Congress is going to be willing to foot the bill for that is just a big question at this point.
Well, Common Core used to be a bipartisan idea, but apparently it is no more. Let me get Bill from Wayne to join our conversation. Hi, Bill. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm great. I have a comment I'd like to make. I graduated from high school with a low GPA and spent 2 years in community college. I worked 30-plus hours a week, lived at home, and I graduated with zero debt. And same thing for my four-year degree, ended up being a PhD from Georgetown with almost no debt because, you know, I had a nice infrastructure from my parents at home. I was able to actually work a lot while I was going to school. Why don't we place some responsibility back on the students to work at the same time they're going to school? It works for me. I don't see why it won't work for them.
Well, Guy Generals, I'm looking at you. How many of the students at community college are also working?
Most. I can say that comfortably. Most of them do work. Most of them have expenses beyond the cost of their tuition. So I don't think that this eliminates that. It makes life a little bit easier for them because they don't take on future debt. But I think the president was clear that students are going to have to step up too. And if they if they hope to get these dollars, they're going to have to work hard. That's an incentive. And I think that's something that will serve the concern that people have about a free lunch. It's not a free lunch. Students are going to have to work for it. The rest of their lives are not going to be put on hold. And I don't see it as a problem the way the caller just
the way the caller did. Cecilia Rouse, do you want to weigh in on that at all?
I share that view, which is that, you know, most community college students are the first in their family. It's also important to remember they're not the traditional college student on average. I think on average the age is 25. Most of them are working. Many of them have families. They have other responsibilities. And so, you know, the idea that they could live at home, well, home is their own home. Many of them are independent and they're living in their own households. So I think this doesn't let them off the hook. I think actually the 2.5 GPA will be a challenge for many students. And to enroll at least half time will be a challenge for many students. And so and many of them will still be needed to work. So I think it still requires effort on the part of students.
Bill, thanks for the call to Radio Times. You can call as well. And again, that phone number 1-888-477-9499. Let me see what Sandy from Washington's Crossing has to say. Sandy, go ahead. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm Professor Emeritus from Harrisburg Area Community College, and over 50% of the students who entered our community college did not have the academic skills to take college-level courses and had to take remedial courses in order to get them to that point. They do not get college credit for those courses. I was wondering if the Obama initiative will cover the cost of those remedial courses, and I believe that that's part of the reason that a lot of the students don't graduate and drop out because they think they're going to college, but they're forced to take these remedial courses.
Sandy, it's a good point, and I'm going to toss that first to you, Guy Generals, as the president of Community College, Philly.
I don't know in terms of the details whether it will support zero-level courses. I think the way the proposal reads, you have a certain amount of time to get your degree. If that includes developmental courses, then good for you if you're able to get it in 2 years. But I will say that there is a lot of effort in trying to reform the developmental efforts that are going on at the college. And hopefully those reform efforts and the transformation of developmental ed as we currently practice them will enable students to get those degrees in 2 years. And that's everything, as Dr. Rouse said, from assessment to, you know, the types of curriculum, acceleration. Oftentimes students are minimally deficient and we put them in a full semester of remediation where maybe they can enroll concurrently, where they're taking the college level course at the same time that they're remediating whatever deficiencies they have. So that part of what we do is needs to be transformed as well. And we're well along the way in making those transformations. And I think that's part of this big picture of making community college the institution to go to provide pathways and transform lives.
What I hear Cecilia Rouse in Sandy's question is that there are students going to community college, probably true of four-year college as well, that are just really not prepared to do college-level work.
So that's why I think developmental education is a key part of the completion, as she pointed out. And this is a big challenge for our community colleges in particular. There are places where four-year colleges refuse to provide. I think even in the CUNY system, the four-year colleges don't provide developmental education. That has been transferred to the community colleges. So that's why the numbers are inflated there. But I personally believe that there are probably too many people who are being identified as needing developmental education. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to suggest that we want to let everybody off the hook. And I think we certainly need to strengthen our high schools. And we need to make sure that students are better prepared for college-level work. And then, as Donald Generals pointed out, you know, reform how we deliver developmental education once they get to college. So I think we absolutely have to tackle that. But I don't think that the answer is to simply say 60-70% of our incoming freshmen at community colleges are identified currently as needing developmental education, so they shouldn't be there. So good luck to them.
Let me see if I can squeeze one more caller in. This is Darlene from Mount Airy. Darlene, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I wanted to call in this morning is we're using community college to save money for our son. He's finishing up his last semester of 2 years at community. And fortunately, we were able to make payments through the college to cover his tuition, so he'll be able to start at a four-year college in September with no debt.
Because he was able to attend community college and not have to incur the kind of debt. Darlene, Guy Generals gave you a thumbs up on the radio for that.
It's been great for our family because now we can spend more money for his next 2 years. And also, you know, he's choosing to go to grad school, so, he'll have much less debt. And Philadelphia Community College has an absolutely amazing honors program.
Oh, wow. Now, Guy Generals is blushing. But thank you, Darlene.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for the call to Radio Time. So, Catherine, we're almost out of time here, but I guess what happens next with this initiative?
Well, I think it remains to be seen what sort of support this is going to get in Congress. I think it's certainly opened up an important discussion, regardless of whether or not it ends up being approved on a federal level. It's gotten people talking about the importance of college and the importance of making available to all students a couple of years of college education. And sort of opened up the whole question, too, as Cecilia mentioned, of whether we need to be looking at those first 2 years in particular of college as a private benefit just for individuals or something that really benefits all the public and something that taxpayers should be footing the bill for. So I think it's opened up a very interesting discussion that's going to carry forth regardless of whether or not it ends up being funded.
Well, we had a good discussion in this hour of Radio Times as well. Catherine Mangan, thanks for joining us today on Radio Times.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Senior reporter for the Chronicle of Higher Education, Cecilia Rouse, thank you very much for joining us.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.
A pleasure for us as well. Dean of the Woodrow Wilson School of Public and International Affairs at Princeton University, former economic advisor to President Obama. And Donald Guy Generals, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
You're very welcome.
Great
president.
Discussion.
Yeah, good discussion as well. He's the president of Community College of Philadelphia. Go to WHYY.org/Radio Times to find out more about this program. Kevin Griffin, the engineer for today's edition of Radio Times, produced by Susan Greenbaum, Debbie Builder, Emily Bryant, and John Ahrens. I'm Marty Moscowane. Thank you so much for joining us.